Mark Knopfler, Dire Straits, doing a walk of life. Hopefully everybody can walk, and if you can't, well, maybe we know somebody that can help you. It is our pleasure to welcome from Concord Orthopedics, Dr. Anton Kurtz this morning. Good morning, Dr. Kurtz. How are you?
Good morning. Terrific. Thanks for having me.
Well, no, pleasure. Pleasure to have you. We have made it a habit over the years to talk to many of the providers at Concord Ortho so that people get to know you and the doctors and say, oh, I didn't know that, or, oh, okay, yeah, I've got that, or and try to allay people's fears that every time they go see Concord Ortho, it's going to result in surgery, which is not the case.
Good point.
Excellent. Well, I got to ask you a question, first of all, because we all do a little background research, and I know you went to Haverford College outside of Philly.
Yes.
Okay, got your undergrad there. Why is the black squirrel the mascot for Haverford College?
No one knows, but there are some black squirrels there. I don't know that they're the most vicious, animal in the animal kingdom. I think the Quakers was maybe already taken, and that's not really any more intimidating. But if I'm not mistaken, our football team was undefeated since 1972, which I think was the year after it was disbanded.
Oh, okay.
See, you didn't know you'd be facing those hard-hitting questions this morning, did you?
Yeah. We're going right for the nitty-gritty here.
Exactly.
That's right.
So your particular specialty at Concord Orthopedics is pediatric orthopedics and orthopedic trauma. Are those similar, or they sound like two distinct disciplines?
Yes, I mean they are two distinct disciplines, but unfortunately for patients they often come in the same package. So I see injured people, of all ages, as the primary, as my primary job. So I see kids with problems that are not fractures or sprains or strains as well, and that's probably what distinguishes that side of things.
Now, how did you get into pediatric orthopedics? I mean, you obviously did your undergrad, and I looked at your curriculum vitae, and yes, you worked your way up. I get all that, but how did you say orthopedic trauma and pediatric? I mean, that sounds kind of like random.
Well, let's just say every resident who does an orthopedic residency spends 5 years in all the different subspecialties, whether it's joint replacements, spine surgery, trauma, fracture care, foot and ankle, hand, shoulder and elbow, tumors, and pediatrics. Actually, you spend among the most amount of time in, because all of those problems can happen to kids as well, and are more sometimes have their own complexities there. But one of the fun things in training, seeing taking care of kids with orthopedic problems, is just how well they do, and how and we're all sort of we all love good outcomes. And so it's a great thing to be able to, take care of kids who, get injured one thing or another, whether it's minor or serious, and take them through their healing process, and they, for them and their families, it often is a good experience at the end because they recover so well.
Is it easier working with pediatrics patients as opposed to adults?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So one good thing about being a kid is that lots of injuries, fractures and broken bones and things like that can heal without surgery. So if you break your ankle as a kid, there's a good chance you don't need a surgery for it. But if you break your ankle as an adult, there's actually a pretty good chance that you do need a surgery for it. Distinguishing, you know, what needs surgery and what doesn't need surgery, sometimes that's, you know, the biggest part of our job.
And kind of jumping on that same line, I would imagine that the pediatric side of things becomes even more complex sometimes, because that's when, you know, bones are forming and you know, they're going to be growing. And are there many more additional considerations that you kind of have to take into play, because maybe you're not sure how this is going to develop, or it depends on, you know, what age the kiddo is, or, you know, what are some of the intricacies of that maybe you don't have to deal with adults?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, on the one hand, there are a lot of problems that kids' bodies can correct themselves, because as a bone grows, it can straighten a crooked, you know, a fracture that heals with a little bit of a bend in it. But on the flip side, you have growth plates to take into consideration. So some of those fractures can injure a growth plate or be very close to the growth plate and need to be monitored for a lot longer than you would in an adult, because you need to make sure that that growth remains sort of undisturbed and growing appropriately over time. So, you know, it's always that always is a source of anxiety for families, but also for, you know, the other docs and PAs, you know, in the community. And so that's, you know, I often see a lot of patients in referral from that, for that purpose, to make sure that the growth plates are, you know, working appropriately.
Mm. Now, Anton, you said that maybe when a child breaks an ankle, they might not have to have surgery, but down the road, as you get older, you do it, you may have to. When does bone repair start slowing down in terms of age? Is it a teenager, or when?
Well, there's a major difference between a kid whose bones are still growing, you know, and then an older teen whose bones have stopped growing. So that's let's say for in the 14 to 16 year old range. But bones really do a remarkable job of healing, you know, all the way through the lifespan. And, you know, it's only the sort of very elderly where bone healing can be compromised just due to age.
So even 50s, 60s, 70s, the bones are still replenishing themselves and taking care of themselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hmm. Now, see, I think some people might not think that.
Hmm. Yeah, I think everybody's, you know, everybody knows about age-related osteoporosis, right? Our bones tend to thin over our lifespans. That's why one of the reasons why it's so important for kids to have a good healthy diet with adequate, you know, calcium and vitamin D when they're young, so that that sort of bank of good healthy bone is as big as it can possibly be before the natural, you know, thinning of age takes place. But but that's just in terms of, you know, the density of our bones. If you talk about healing, like if you broke your wrist and it needs to heal, that healing goes on at every age.
Huh. Mm, good to know. And you know, as we're talking again about, you know, kids and then some of those differences, I'm thinking too of sports. Of course, a lot of our kids are involved in sports, and some, you know, maybe there's one sport and they do it religiously, and this is like their whole year is built around this one sport. Some kids are taking on many sports. Is this something that is good and is helping to strengthen them, or does it kind of depend on A, the sport, and then B, how many? And do you have more concerns as the kids are developing as far as what kinds of sports they're doing or how many?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say the commonest, you know, feature of patients who come to my office with sort of chronic pain in a knee or an elbow or an ankle or what have you, who are playing sports, is single sport athletes who don't take a season off. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're doing one sport, and I don't think it necessarily matters what it is, and that's all you're doing, and you're on three club teams, and you're doing it season after season after season after season, those kids get repetitive stress injuries, you know, that ultimately make, you know, are frustrating to the whole family because it hurts and it's not fun. And, you know, and no one knows how do they get out of this without stopping doing the thing that, you know, that they love. And often that's a hard problem to solve.
I remember when I was a kid, I had Osgood's, a disease, they called it, the calcium deposits in the knees. I had to have cast put on one of the knees.
Just to get the inflammation to calm down for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. And that took me off of the sports circuit for a while, and it was not fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure.
All right. So
it's frustrating.
No, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, the hardest thing is just, you know, keeping the perspective that, you know, life is long. You know, a few weeks or, you know, or even a couple of months away from something isn't the end of the world.
Yeah, that's a hard sell when you're a kid, and it's right now it does not
feel.
It is a hard,
you don't have to tell me it's a hard sell.
So just out of curiosity, before we let you go, when you are in the operating room, do you have particular music that you function with?
That's great. I have an eclectic mix of choices. Lately, my go-to is a very long 80s playlist.
I'm a fan. All right.
That's great. That is good. Well, we appreciate the time, Dr. Kurtz, and a nice way to introduce you to the listening audience all over Concord and Plymouth and New London area. So hopefully we'll get a chance to continue the conversation to do it again.
Would love that. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. Dr. Anton Kurtz, pediatric orthopedics and orthopedic trauma from Concord Orthopedics. ConcordOrtho.com is the website. On that note, we'll take a break.